So Jesus is teaching his disciples how to pray, how to approach their heavenly King. And he's very clear, isn't he? You've got our gospel reading in front of you in our welcome sheet. He says it's not about putting on the right performance. It's not about putting on a show. It's not about impressing others. It's about focusing upon God. It's about encountering Him. It's about spending time with God, pure and simple. Last week we were looking at our giving, and it was the same message, wasn't it? Jesus said, don't make a big song and dance about it. Just be generous. Just be compassionate, quietly. It's not about making a show. Let it be about in here, in the heart, in that private place. And let it be about God. Not about the audience. Not even about you. Let it be about Him. Verse 5. And when you pray, do not be like the hypocrites, for they love to pray standing in the synagogues and on the street corners to be seen by others. Truly I tell you, they receive their reward in full. But when you pray, go into your room, close the door and pray to your Father who is unseen. Then your Father who sees what is done in secret will reward you. And when you pray, do not keep on babbling like pagans, for they think they'll be heard because of their many words. Do not be like them, for your Father knows what you need before you ask Him. Jesus says, if when you pray, you're not actually focused upon God, if you're more focused upon yourself, if you're more focused upon others, then you've missed the point. Your prayer is empty. And he also says, if you're preoccupied with trying to somehow nag God with your list of demands, then again, you've missed the point. Jesus says the point of prayer is to be God-focused, to be in the zone, to be in that place of encountering God, open and listening, to be God aware. Jesus says when you pray, lock yourself away, not meaning that somehow God only hears your prayers if you're locked away in a cupboard, but he is giving intensely practical advice. It's a lot easier to be God focused if there aren't distractions, or there isn't an audience to be self-conscious of or to play to. Charles Wesley's mum has 19 children. 19. Let me just emphasise that. 19 children. What was she thinking?
Nothing.
They clearly had a very loving marriage. How did she have a hope of praying? How did she find a moment to be prayerfully God-focused? Do you know what she did? Some of you do. She must have been very tempted to literally lock herself away in a cupboard, to disappear into the pantry and just not emerge as chaos ensued in her house. But what she used to do was she used to sit at a kitchen table and she put her apron over her head. Simple as that. And the children knew that was the time to leave mum be. Now, I'm not convinced on the sound blocking qualities of an apron, but it was her quiet place. It was her cupboard. It was her closed door. So I wonder how you can make a space for prayer in your life. What can be your cupboard or your apron? Maybe it's in the bathroom. You can lock the bathroom, can't you, and escape the children. or resist the urge to answer the phone if it should ring. Maybe you put your mobile headphones in for a bit in your break at work. Everyone thinks you're listening to the radio, listening to a podcast, but you're not. It's just your prayer space, your moment. Maybe it's walking the dog. Maybe it's brushing your teeth. Or maybe it's a moment you take before you turn on a computer to check your emails. That'll get you praying regularly, won't it? If you stop. Maybe it's before Facebook. You stop. And you do the equivalent of putting your apron over your head and saying, God, I want to encounter you. There's no one size fits all. But Jesus says, intensely practically, it's good to find a space, a way of being where you can be undistracted and God focused. So practical question number one. Do you need to find yourself a prayer apron? A place, a time, an opportunity to be prayerful and God focused? Have you got one? Have you got a few? When? Where might it be? As many of you will know, we've just started our Lent course on the subject of prayer this week. And you know me by now, this is an opportunity for me to encourage you, if you didn't come to that first week, to come along this week. The details are in your welcome sheet. I would really encourage you to give that time. It was a great start last week to have over, just over 70 people in our church family participating in those two get-togethers, and there is space for more. One of the things that really struck me and has stayed with me from our first session is a story that one of the sort of presenters shares. His name is Pete Greek. He's a renowned Christian speaker and is asked to write a book. So he blocks out the time in his diary to do the writing, and he locks himself away from his family to get it written. Finally, the day comes when the manuscript is ready. His family have barely seen him. His wife's probably at her wit's end. And so as soon as he's pressed the send button for the email that takes the manuscript off to the publisher, he breathes a sigh of relief, emerges from his office, and says to the family, "We're going out to celebrate!" So they head off to the nearest pub, which does good food and has one of those amazing children's climbing areas. And they get there and they order their food, and then he says to the children, "Off you go." And off they run with great excitement. And then a moment later, Pete Greek tells a story of how one of his sons comes back and he sits on his dad's lap and he says, "Dad, I love you and I've missed you," and gives him a big hug. And Pete Greek was sharing the emotion of kind of experiencing his son turning down the playground just to be in his lap and to say, "Dad, while you've been writing that book, I've really missed you and I want to be with you." And the point that Pete Greek is seeking to make in sharing that story is that prayer is so much more than a thing or something you sort of do and tick off the list of life. It's about relationship. Jesus says, don't think of prayer as something to impress others with. Don't think of it as a sort of spiritual shopping trip. "Hi God, it's me again. I would like this, 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 and this." Jesus says, approach God as a child approaches their father. Our Father in heaven. Approach God as Pete Greek's son approached him. Climb into your heavenly Father's lap and talk to him. and enjoy sitting in his lap. Enjoy just acknowledging who he is. He's your heavenly Father. And as you plonk yourself down in his lap, he welcomes you and embraces you. Our Father. We just thought it was a neat start, didn't we? But our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. As he sits in his lap, enjoy the fact that he is holy, perfect, totally reliable, totally dependable. And enjoy the fact that he knows you. More than that, he loves you as his child. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Then enjoy the fact of that place and safety and comfort and security that comes from knowing Dad's got it in hand. He's got it in hand. He's Dad's. Do you remember those moments when your children hadn't reached the point where they realised you as mum or dad weren't perfect? Where they just implicitly trusted you and found total courage and security in your presence. I love those moments when my girls come running to me. Maybe they've fallen over. I know it's a bit cruel to just like that moment. But when they run to me for comfort, I just love it. Maybe they need some help and they come to me with a question. I love it. Yesterday, Naomi burst into my office. I was doing my Pete Greig kind of thing. I've got to write a sermon, Naomi. And she burst in, came up to me and said, Daddy, it's huggy time. And I was just in here. It was just wonderful. I know it might go, but Naomi is in a huggy stage. And I just love it. And I don't want it to end. I love it when the girls want to be with me, to share with me, to ask me questions, to share life with their dad. So does our Heavenly Father. He loves that we find reassurance and safety and love in his presence. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. Don't hear me wrong, Jesus does encourage us to bring our needs to God. But it's out of relationship, out of a confidence in who our Heavenly Father is, not just a kind of shopping list kind of thing. It's deeper, it's more profound. As parents, we would do anything for our children, wouldn't we? We want to provide and help and protect. But let's be honest, just in the safety of this place, it still irritates, does it, when you're in the shops and they're like, Dad, 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 come this, come back, Mum, Mum. Jesus says, come to your Heavenly Father for help, for all your needs, but do it out of relationship, do it out of intimacy. Not treating it like a nagging child where you've somehow got to grind your parent down into weakness. Not as a business transaction where it's kind of get in, secure the deal, and get out. Every parent knows that there is a way to ask that is helpful and enables you to hear as a parent. And there is a way that does the opposite, where you're just irritated and closed off as soon as your children start. Jesus says, ask your Heavenly Father genuinely, trusting, not the sort of naggy, whiny, listing your list of demands away. It's about relationship, not shopping list. And so I want to finish by reading again our first reading, Psalm 63. You God are my God. Earnestly I seek you. I thirst for you. My whole being longs for you in a dry and parched land where there is no water. I've seen you in the sanctuary and beheld your power and glory. Because your love is better than life, my lips will glorify you. I will praise you as long as I live, and in your name I will lift up my hands. I will be fully satisfied, as with the richest foods, with singing lips, my mouth will praise you. On my bed, I remember you. I think of you through the watches of the night. Because you are my help, I sing in the shadow of your wings. I cling to you. Your right hand upholds me. Those who want to kill me will be destroyed. They will go down to the depths of the earth. They will be given over to the sword and become food for jackals. But the king, that's the writer of this psalm, but the king will rejoice in God. All who swear by God will glory in him, while the mouths of liars will be silenced. I love the Psalms for that sense of human reality, that balance of intimacy and rawness. God, deal with my enemies. God, please help. God, I love spending time with you. Let's pursue that place of intimacy and dependency in our lives, where our prayer life, our walk with Jesus, isn't just functional, but it's about relationship at its most simple and it's most powerful. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, we pray, would you take us into that place of intimacy? Would you teach us to pray, not just in the sense of get it done or tick off the box or do the time, but in the sense of climbing into our Heavenly Father's lap, in finding peace, in finding security, in finding forgiveness, in finding healing, in finding freedom, in finding joy. We pray, would you send your Holy Spirit upon us, that as we go into this week, we would know that depth of relationship. Would you help us to find that secret place, to find those moments in the day when we can put aside all else, flick our apron over our heads, and spend time with you. Teach us to pray, Lord Jesus, that we might know the Father as you know him, and that we might know his will as you knew so clearly. We ask this in your precious name. Amen.